opinion of one teacher as opposed to a standardized examination, which tells us what children can do.
Professor Wainow, your response.
Yeah, it makes me laugh. For one, the international comparison, he actually doesn't understand or isn't actually portraying that correctly. There was a very recent study by Carnot and Rothstein that showed that if you compare international test scores and you account for poverty, you can actually find that U.S. students compare quite well to the highest performing countries around the world. And so making that, like, his perspective on that actually doesn't read that test data correctly.
Well, let me,
if I could add one
before
thing,
we end, yeah, Jesse Hagopian, let me just say something. Let me ask you, you're threatened with 10-day pay suspension. What are your and the other teachers' plans at Garfield right now? Really, the whole nation is watching this unanimous protest.
Yeah, the teachers at Garfield High School are not worried at all about this 10-day suspension. They've told me that they're willing to take this 10-day suspension without pay because this is a civil rights issue. They'll just go into the classroom and volunteer their time if they need be. And this really has touched something around the nation. You know, at Garfield High School, we received pizza from a school in Florida during lunch, flowers from a school in New Jersey. You know, that I received thousands of emails from people all over the country, and one of them was from a teacher at in a Native American reservation who said, I am supposed to give 14 standardized tests a year, and education is becoming far more about testing than actually learning. And we face big problems in the world today. We face climate change threatening humanity. We face endless wars, and we're facing economic stagnation. And these types of problems cannot be solved by bubbling in A, B, C, or D. Mm-hmm. We need to teach our kids critical thinking skills. We need to teach them civic courage and leadership skills to solve these big types of problems that we face in our society. And that is the direction that Garfield High School teachers are pointing. Now, some Garfield High School teachers may want to replace the MAP test with a better test, but many of us think we need far more accurate forms of assessment. We're not against accountability. We want to show student growth, but we can't do it with a flawed test. We want to move towards things like portfolios. And I think
Jesse Hagopian, we're going to have to leave it there. We want to thank you, high school history teacher, and Professor Wainow, editor of Rethinking Schools, for joining us. That does it for our broadcast, Democracy Now!, produced by Mike Berger, Nate Feltzer-Amate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us for Democracy Now!
And that was Democracy Now! Here on WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock. Time for Concert Billboard, but there is no Concert Billboard, so we're just going to skip ahead to Off the Wall. Thank you. Good evening. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, the 29th day of January, 2013. And I'm really digging this new theme. I could sit back and listen to it all day long. It is, I guess, kind of long for a relatively short program. In fact, we're extra short tonight. We're only 45 minutes because there's a basketball game coming up at 6:45, where the Stony Brook men's basketball team journey all the way up to Albany, New York, to settle a score or two. And, yeah, you know, can you imagine if TV shows had themes that lasted that long? There were 4 or 5 minutes before anything actually happened. You're just introducing the characters and showing the scenery. It would save a lot of money, I'll bet. You know, and if they're complaining about how much it costs to make television shows, that's one way to cut down a bit. But people don't like that. In fact, they don't even like themes anymore. If you look at a lot of television programs, they don't even have themes. They just basically say the title and get right into it. And I always thought the best television programs are the ones that had long, intricate themes, like The Prisoner, for instance. Can't beat that. Although many have tried. But it's part of progression, I guess, or regression, whichever you prefer, such as how at the end of TV programs, not to belabor a point, but they don't show credits anymore. They show them in microscopic print, and they go by so quickly that even if you have freeze frame, you can't make it out. And now the DVDs come like that, too. So, you know, if you work on some kind of production, it's like, thanks, but no thanks. We're not even going to acknowledge you exist. And you just wonder, as the years go by, how much less can they give you? It's almost fascinating just to watch that happen. And, you know, I hate to do this, but I'm going to introduce a new element here. As you can see, our theme, our beautiful new theme, is being hijacked by a different sound. And this is something that I only learned about last week. This is really a bit too much. This is exactly what happened. I'm going to say those things I said last week if you don't turn this down a little bit. A little more. All right, too much. All right, that's good. This is something that I know about genres. I know there are musical genres all over the place. I'm not a big fan of musical genres, only because they're so limiting. They basically take a kind of music you might like and then divide it into all these different subcategories. And then you wind up with people who just listen to one particular subgenre and look down on people who listen to other subgenres. And in the end, it's all basically part of the same animal. But rather than listening to a variety of things, let's pick this place as an example, WUSB, where we play all kinds of music around the clock. You limit yourself. You're only listening to one particular thing. This genre is called stoner doom. Stoner doom. I guess I suspected that it was out there. I looked it up. And the reason I looked it up was because I was hanging out with some friends about a week ago, and some wiseacre came up to the jukebox. It's one of these, I don't want to say internet jukeboxes, because it's not really using the internet. It's using a satellite service. And you can get all kinds of music now that you weren't able to get before, because the library is just so much bigger. And so this guy somehow knew that this particular track, which is 65 minutes long, was available on this particular service. And he selected that. And everybody in the place was going mad, wondering when was it ever going to end? And we're going to play it. We're going to relive that experience to the fullest right here on this show. In fact, we're not even going to live it to the fullest, because we're going to get cut off at 6:45 and this song will still be going. Song? Did I call it a song? I don't want to put it down, but it's, you know, a song. Songs have bouncy lyrics, and, well, I guess this does have lyrics. Actually, I want to read some of the lyrics. Maybe they'll start singing along with me. Drop out of life with bong in hand. Follow the smoke toward the rift-filled land. Drop out of life with bong in hand. I said that before. I know. Follow the smoke toward the rift-filled land. Basically, that repeats a few times. And then it goes into the whole Holy Mountain Zion thing and gets into some detail about that. But mostly it's this sound of I guess, doom. Yeah, it is kind of a doomy sound. It's described in Wikipedia as often bass-heavy, which makes much use of guitar effects such as fuzz, phaser, or flanger. Stoner doom could be viewed as the heavier and slower form of stoner rock. As the two styles emerged simultaneously, it was pioneered in the early mid-1990s by bands such as Cayuse. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing this wrong. I don't know how to pronounce it. Sleep, which is who we're listening to right now, and I think I'm pronouncing that right. Cathedral, Acid King, Electric Wizard, Orange Goblin, and Sons of Otis. And this particular piece is called Dope Smoker, and I just remember looking it up on that jukebox because I had to find out just what in God's... This could be a weapon. This could be something that you use to clear out a place. And again, all due respect, I'm not putting down the music, even though it sounds like I am. It's just, you got to understand, not everybody is into this. Not everybody likes hearing this for over an hour. And, you know, I wish we were on for an hour because we could fill the entire show with this one track. In fact, I'm going to ask the sports guys when they come in if they wouldn't mind for the first 15 minutes of the game just having this playing in the background. But I think I know how that's going to go. So yes, Stoner Doom. You learn something new every week, if you choose to. And there are so many different types of subgenres out there. And they're all great if you listen to other things, if you use it as a learning tool. And most people I know do. Most people I know turn something like this off, turn on classical or turn on ska or jazz or whatnot. But there are people who just listen to one type of a thing, and that's never a good step. Although it is kind of alluring. But we got some, if I can not be too distracted by this, we got some pretty good mail this week. In fact, I'm very happy with the mail we got this week. We had a good amount, and please keep it up. Please keep writing to us, because we do like hearing from listeners, because it tells us that we have listeners, that they're out there. Oh, we see lots of people downloading the show. We know many, many people do that, but we don't know if you're just doing that out of habit or if maybe some process has run amok and can't stop. But when people actually listen and comment, well, that's makes it all worthwhile. A couple of letters here from Alex. In case this makes you feel any better, I had a 1991 Toyota Tercel a few years ago. Had the same thing happen to me that I described a few weeks ago. While driving down the highway, I had the hood slam into my windshield and stay there. Maybe this is a feature of the Tercels. I don't know. What happened? Was that our CD player or was that the track? Is there a gap in there? Okay. Sometimes the CD player ejects things it doesn't like. In fact, in the place that I heard this, the guy running the joint had to basically use executive control and switch to the next song. You can do that with a remote control if you have the power. And I think after about 45 minutes of this, that limit was reached. I think almost every place has that particular remote control where they can skip a song. In fact, I remember this really incredible bar called the Mars Bar in Lower Manhattan. I can say that now because they're gone. It's what I call a gateway bar. It leads to all kinds of things if you choose to go down those roads. But in this particular case, somebody made use of their jukebox, which was an old-fashioned jukebox. It had actual CDs, which I guess is not as old-fashioned as the ones with actual vinyl, but it didn't have this unlimited supply of things coming out of the sky. So they knew what was on their jukebox. And I remember there was, I think it was a Herbie Hancock piece. Yeah, imagine that on a jukebox. And somebody selected it. And within 3 seconds, the guy behind the bar was like, right, and click the thing to skip to the next song. I just wonder, you know, if you have it on your jukebox, you select it, or somebody there selects it, you shouldn't immediately skip to something else. That was disrespectful. And yes, I'm the one who picked it. That's how I knew what it was. I'm sorry, going back to Alex's letter here. So, yes, he had the hood slam into his windshield and stay there. He says it is a mighty startling experience, to say the least, but I'm glad you were able to deal with the situation like I did and successfully get on the side of the road. I was able to see through a tiny slit on the bottom of my windshield. Yes, as was I. I wonder if you had a similar experience. It's kind of hard to, you know, you're going 55 miles an hour. Hopefully you're not going faster than that. And all of a sudden, you're blind. And you have to come to a stop. You have to make sure the guy in back of you doesn't slam into you. You have to make sure you don't slam into something that you can't see in front of you. And those are the lyrics, by the way. Now, I got to say, and I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy here, but if you're going to have lyrics, shouldn't they be understandable? Can anybody understand this? Well, he's not singing that, I don't think, or moaning, or whatever it is he's doing. But it's not just... here we go. I mean, maybe they're not that important, but I like to think lyrics are one of the most important parts of any song. And it's not confined to this particular subgenre of music. Many types of music, the lyrics are completely unintelligible, very, very difficult to hear. And I just think they should stand out a little more. You know, if you're a good singer, you should be able to do that so that people can actually hear the message, because the music is part of the message, but the lyrics are the other part of the message. And I had to go online and find out what these lyrics actually were saying. I still don't understand them, but at least that's my fault. Anyway, returning to this letter here, Alex said he wanted to share that, and thanks for the show. And Alex, thank you for your letter. Yeah, you know, it's a difficult thing when your hood flies up in the air. Actually, flies up in your face, doesn't fly up in the air. But that's an even worse thing. I've heard of that happening, where hoods fly up and fly over the car and hit the car in back of them. Not pleasant. All kinds of horrible things can happen if you really think about it. I just got to be really careful. If I drive the Tercel, I got to make sure it's latched properly. Otherwise, that could happen again, and I won't be so lucky next time. Here's a letter from Pat, who writes in concerning a story that we read. I believe a story about dreadlocks. This guy was apparently strangling his girlfriend with his dreadlocks, and the story writer felt compelled to add a sentence at the end of the story to define what dreadlocks were. I found that particularly amusing. Pat writes, I may be wrong, but I believe writers of stories like that get paid per word. So adding that bit on the end was enough to not get edited out and still get paid for, like padding your references in a high school research paper. And Pat from Seattle, thank you for that letter. And you're probably right. You heard it this time, didn't you? The board fell apart again 3 weeks in a row, the same exact way. I should just leave. You know what? There, I'm going to leave it on the table, all right? Obviously, this part of the board wants to fall apart, so I'm going to leave it be. Because every time I put it back together, it just falls apart again. And it only does it during my show. Either that or it does it during everybody's show and everybody puts it back, in which case the next people can put it back. I'm done. But I'm not done with letters, because there's one more from Dustin who says, I love the new music enough to send you an email about it. Thank you, Dustin, for that short but concise email about the new theme, and you probably hate this, don't you? Actually, it's not so bad. It grows on you. And that can be said about almost any type of music, I suppose. Even polka. No, I have nothing against polka, but a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people say, I can't listen to that, or I can't listen to country, I can't listen to this particular type of... And, you know, it's a type of closed-mindedness, because anything that has a musical beat or any kind of musical talent in it is worth listening to. And throughout the ages, every new type of music was always criticized as not being real music. They said that about jazz. They said that about jazz. They said it about rock. They said it about rap. They'll say it about anything new. And that's just something that we have to recognize the signs of and counter them whenever possible, because we might not get it right away. But if you expose yourself to it, look, I went out and I bought this album, you know, based on a weird experience a week ago. And while it may not be my favorite type of music, at least I've learned something. I've learned about stoner doom. And if you know about stoner doom, you're that much more well-prepared to go out into the world. All right, speaking of the world, the world is changing. It's changing faster than we can keep track of it. Who would have thought that we'd be talking about immigration changes of the sort that we're looking at right now, amnesty, as many people are calling it, for illegal aliens, as many people call them. Well, call it what you will, but it represents a fundamental change in the shift of wherever this country has been heading over the past couple of decades. And it certainly seems promising. Now, a bipartisan group of senators yesterday introduced a plan for overhauling U.S. immigration policy. That was one day before President Obama's plan was laid out today. Now, I guess the reason for doing that is so that, well, they can get bipartisan support before he opens his mouth and all the Republicans say no to whatever it is he says. So if they sort of head him off at the pass, which I'm not sure if they're actually doing that, but if that is the technical term for it, then it's a strategic move to make sure this actually gets through the House and the Senate. Now, the eight senators say their plan will secure the border and provide a path to citizenship that some for some undocumented immigrants already in the country. And, of course, critics are saying the citizenship component is granting amnesty for those who entered the country illegally. But, of course, we all have benefited from those people who have entered the country, quote-unquote, illegally, and in the form of having our lawns cut, our children watched over, cheaper products, whatever. And, of course, the people who do this get very little in return and almost no respect. So it's just interesting to see that this is actually coming from both sides of the aisle now, that we're actually talking about this like it's going to happen. I would not have guessed this. I would not have guessed this was something that was even conceivable, not in the current makeup of our political atmosphere. But apparently, after November's election, things are really changing. And I know people are going to say they're not changing enough. Well, they are changing. So either you accept this change and move on to the next change, or you turn your back on it and let it all fall apart. And then we go back to where we were. Your choice. Anyway, the new push for immigration reform follows the devastating poll results for Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney, who in November won only 27% of the Latino vote, which was down from 44% for President George W. Bush in 2004. And 31% for Senator John McCain 4 years ago. So think about that. That dramatic slide, it was a dramatic slide, jolted key Republicans to act quickly on the complex and emotional issue that has divided the parties for years. Now, Republicans long have argued that Latino voters, many of whom are Catholic and pro-life, would find a home in the GOP if not for the harsh rhetoric some Republicans use to debate the illegal immigration topic. Democrats also are under pressure to reach a deal. Many Latino voters were disappointed that President Obama didn't work harder in his first term to pass a bill. Immediately after his election, Latino leaders pushed the president to make sure it would be a priority for his second term. As a signal of how important the issue is for Senate Democrats, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid announced last week an immigration reform bill would be labeled S1, meaning it's Senate Bill number one of the new Congress, clearly a top priority. I can understand him now. I guess that's it. Could any of this Senate plan be a starting point for compromise with the House, they ask. Many House Republicans have called for strengthening border security and insist that the issue be the top priority before any steps are taken to grant citizenship to those in the United States illegally. But the bipartisan immigration framework from the Senate ties the two issues together to attract support from both parties. If House Republicans attempt to separate these, it could jeopardize the chance for comprehensive immigration reform. So we're looking at a situation where finally, this problem could be behind us. And maybe there'll actually be a way that people can become citizens easier where they won't have to enter the country illegally. And they'll be treated fairly when they do get here, given a decent wage and health care, all kinds of nice things like that. It's something worth considering anyway. But yeah, change. It's happening. happening all around us. Not all the change is good. Not all change is a good thing, and not just in this part of the world, but I've been following what's been happening in Russia, and it's simply unbelievable with their anti-gay bills. Yeah, they're passing bills to make it virtually illegal to be gay in Russia. And you look at where things are in this country and other countries in Europe and throughout the world, and you see things moving in a totally different direction, and then you hear about something like this. Now, Ilya Komonovsky, who is straight, stood outside Russia's lower house of parliament to protest the anti-gay bill that's being passed there. He avoided arrest, but on Monday, when he went to the school where he teaches ninth grade biology, he was fired. Yeah. While many countries, including the United States, are fighting discrimination based on sexual orientation, Russia seems intent on intensifying it. And on Friday, as Komonovsky stood in the freezing cold, the State Duma passed the first reading of a bill prohibiting distribution of gay propaganda to minors. I have no idea what that even means. Gay propaganda. What kind of gay propaganda do you hand out to minors anyway? You know, it's not like army recruiting, is it? Yeah. Opponents fear it could also make gay pride marches, demonstrations for gay rights, and public displays of affection illegal. In fact, I was watching some really startling footage of just such a demonstration, where people were demonstrating publicly signs of affection, and they were attacked mercilessly, beaten bloody by these goons who were not even touched by the police. It's as easy as that. Hold someone's hand of the same sex in Russia, you will be beaten. Now, these are the guys that we're going to say it's okay to have the World Cup and the Olympics next year. How about some ramifications for treating people inhumanely? It's disgusting to see this kind of thing happen. And, you know, I was thinking about this. We've been talking over the last few weeks about the changes that are taking place, the other changes in this country as far as the gun debate based on the horrible events of December. And you wind up looking back at the way things used to be, where we weren't quite so, I don't know what the word is, advanced maybe? It's not the right word, because in many ways we're not advanced at all. But we looked upon things in a certain way back in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s. And this could have been us. What we're seeing in Russia, this could have been us a mere 20 years ago. And in that same way, we look at the gun debate and how people are demanding that they have their assault weapons and things like that. And, you know, if we just fight the battle and have the conversation, 20 years from now, we'll look back and say, wow, I can't believe we were there. I can't believe that was us. But we got through it. We got somewhere better. So it's interesting to just watch this happening in other places and wanting to shake them and say, don't you see why this is wrong? And realizing that it doesn't come that easily. You have to go through the whole process. And unfortunately, that's what's happening over there now. Hopefully the process can go quickly. I think that really is up to the people over there. Now, Moscow already bans gay pride parades on the grounds that they might set off public disorder. Isn't that great? Now, the Duma voted 338-1 for the bill. Not exactly close. 338-1. And one deputy abstained. 52 avoided voting one way or another. One person voted against it. A member of the ruling United Russia Party justified his yes vote by saying, "We live in Russia, not Sodom and Gomorrah." The national bill follows the passage of similar laws in St. Petersburg, Novosibirsk, and three other cities, tapping into an ideology promoted by President Vladimir Putin and his circle that combines anti-Westernism, Russian exceptionalism, and conservative Orthodox religious beliefs. This is part of a concentrated effort by the Russian authorities to create a new political cleavage between the conservative pro-Putin majority and the more liberal pro-Western minority. They have to invent issues around which such a cleavage can be manufactured, says Grigory Golosov, the project director for the Center of Democracy and Human Rights, St. Petersburg. In the long run, this could prove a challenge for Putin. History shows it's difficult to manufacture such a rupture. In the short term, there's no doubt the anti-gay law will pass. It's pretty sad. They threaten to burn us alive, say Russian gay activists. Not a good time to be gay in Russia. Friday, the Russian parliament gave the initial backing to that law. And the nationwide bill has galvanized lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender activists to organize protests in various Russian cities, during which they were targeted, sometimes very violently, by nationalist and Orthodox militants. You gotta wonder, why are they so scared? Why are they so violent? What is they're afraid of exactly? I've asked the same questions in this country and never really got a satisfactory answer, but I was happy to see that particular argument recede into the background and eventually, hopefully, one day disappear altogether. Now, those pushing the proposed law, which is most prominently the powerful Russian Orthodox Church, applaud the promotion of traditional Russian and Orthodox values in the face of Western values. The Kremlin also seeks to increase the national birth rate, which has been in free fall since the end of the USSR. You know, forcing people not to be gay, that's not the way to do that. It really isn't. Unbelievable. I'm sorry, I hit the volume. Didn't mean to do that. I really didn't mean to do that. And when did being gay become a Western thing? You know, it's not exactly a Western value. It's a human value. It's incredible how religious people all throughout the world can't seem to come to terms with reality, which I guess makes sense when you consider what it is they espouse, but still, come on. At least make an attempt. I respect any religion that respects other religions or other people that aren't part of their religion, and I'm not seeing that here. Andre is a gay rights activist who participated in a protest in Voronezh. Voronezh. I cannot pronounce that. Voronezh. I'm going to say it that way. I hope that's close to right. He wrote in his blog, "I've been taking part in LGBT rights events since 2010 in St. Petersburg and in Moscow, but I've never been attacked like I was in Voronezh." I'd be attacked there just for butchering the name. "When the hundreds of people take to the streets with nationalist and Orthodox slogans in a large crowd, they start behaving like animals. I was hit by some people. I had barely arrived. I had just seen them greeting each other with Nazi salutes. I took out my sign that read, 'Stop Hatred,' and was immediately punched to the ground. Then someone started kicking me in the head and the neck before running away. I was then brought to a police car, which took me away from the protest. I only saw the other activists get beat up on video footage. No one was grievously hurt, but three of us had large bruises and open wounds. Now, after the protest, I received hundreds of threats on social networks. 'Die, you dirty whore. If you try again, I will burn you alive. You will not find a single safe place for you on Russian soil. Get out of here, you fag. If I see you, I will break your teeth,' and so on. My picture and contact information are circulating online. As a result, I no longer leave my house by myself. I always call a cab. I am desperate. Can you imagine how desperate I must be when I choose to go to a protest, though I know I might very well be killed? The police will never protect us. I'm under no illusions on that front. The police reported that there had not been any violence during the protest, and they received thank you letters from our attackers for not intervening. But I will keep on fighting. With help from human rights activists, we filed a complaint with the Interior Ministry and the city of Voronezh. I have also been contacted by a non-profit, Frontline Defenders, which is preparing appeals to the Russian government, the Council of Europe, and the United Nations. We need to support these people in any way possible. We need to make sure that their voices are heard over here. And we need to put pressure on the government over there. And, you know, taking away the World Cup is one way to do that. T- Taking away the Olympics is another way to do that. Because that's how we fought South Africa. You know, we isolated them in the world of sports, and that really hurts. Really hurts a lot. Now, I want to recommend something. I found this by accident, actually, on the web. Turns out a 14-year-old kid in Vermont, along with his dad and classmates, made this film. And it's about this kind of thing. It's about what goes on still in school today in this country, where kids are ostracized for appearing gay. And it takes a lot of guts for somebody in that particular crowd, in high school, junior high school, to go out, not to mention a lot of talent, go out and make a film about exactly that. And if you go to the Big Apple Short Film Collection, which is BigAppleFilmFestival.com, and search for a film called One Voice, you can see the whole thing. It's 15 minutes long. And it's not, I guess, a mainstream film by any stretch, but it's something that any one of us can play a part in, one way or another, wherever our talents happen to be. And I think it's amazing to see somebody step forward and do something like that. And also to have all these classmates participate as well. It shows that our world around here certainly is changing. This never could have happened when I was growing up. Well, not to mention you couldn't make a film, except maybe on High 8 or something when I was growing up. But this kind of stepping up, speaking out, would not have been encouraged. Would have been more similar to what Russia is today. And again, this is something that needs to be encouraged, needs to be supported. And I hope a thousand other kids do the same thing. All right, another disturbing development. There's been significant brain activity in Ariel Sharon. Yeah, you thought he was dead. you thought that Israeli, the former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon died 7 years ago. And I'm not a big fan of his because he kind of started the Second Intifada by going to holy ground and kind of provoking Palestinians, and he's been responsible for some massacres, and overall not a very nice guy. That said, I don't wish him harm, and I'm joking when I say it's an ominous sign that there's brain activity. Think about it. 7 years in a coma. The guy's been in a coma for 7 years, and they just found out now. And I say they just found out because they didn't do these tests before, where they basically showed him pictures of random houses and then a picture of his house. And when his house was shown to him, areas of his brain lit up with activity. And people were speaking gibberish. I wonder what that was like in front of him. And then they started speaking. What language do they speak? I'm not sure if they spoke English or Hebrew, but whatever language they spoke, it was an actual language he understood, and again, his brain responded. That means he could have been aware of things going on for 7 years in a coma. Can you imagine that? He's 84 years old, suffered a devastating stroke January 4th, 2006, and a brain hemorrhage. He was presumed to be in a vegetative state. But yesterday, a team of surprise neuroscientists and doctors said Sharon's brain appeared to respond when they showed him pictures of his family, had him listen to his son's voice. So, beware. The Lion of God, as he was once called, could wake up. And the sequel to that film may yet be written. But no, I find it fascinating that such a medical condition can occur to somebody. And I feel very sorry for someone who could have been trapped in his own head for that long. And I do hope he comes out of it, because it would be an interesting conversation, to say the least. And everybody, even monsters, deserve humane treatment. All right, you know, good news for those of you out there that have been jonesing for Twinkies. Apparently, Hostess is getting close to approving a buyer. It's down between Purina and Getty. No, I'm kidding. It's down between McKee Foods Corporation has already agreed to buy the Drake's brand. It gets sort of complicated here. Drake's was owned by by Hostess, but it was a competing brand, even though they were owned by the same people. And of course, Drake's, if you do your research, if you study the subject matter that we present here, Drake's made ringdings, yodels, devil dogs, Yankee doodles, as well as, of course, the coffee cake. And apparently they were able to buy all the rights to that only for $27.5 million. That's not that much. I mean, it's a lot for us, but it's not that much in the corporate world. $27.5 million and you get all of that. Of course, they still have to make it, but the rights to have those names must be worth more than that. And then earlier this month, Flowers Foods agreed to buy six of Hostess's bread brands. It's hard to say. Hostess's bread brands, including Wonder. Yeah, Wonder Bread's going to come back. Nature's Pride and Beefsteak. I don't even know what that is. That's bread? Beefsteak? Why would you call bread that? Kind of alienates the vegetarian community right there. And bread is one thing they can eat, so why do that? Unless it has meat in it somehow. Anyway, they paid $390 million for that. And Flowers Foods, in case you haven't heard of them, they own Nature's Own and Tasty Cake. Yeah, Tasty Cake, the other bakery that doesn't really come into this state very much. So now they will own part of what Hostess used to do. Yeah. Now, the company that supposedly is interested in buying the Twinkies name, which I guess is the big one. Is that also McKee? Yeah, they're known for their Little Debbie brand of snacks. Actually, you know what? I'm wrong. It was not McKee. It's these other companies called Apollo Global Management. That doesn't sound like a very nice bakery name. And C. Dean Metropolis and Company. They're the likely winners of this round of negotiations to buy Twinkies. So Metropolis owns Pabst Blue Ribbon Beer, among other things. And we don't know what the people at Apollo Global Management own, but yeah, interesting times in the world of crap, which is what that stuff is. There are other things to talk about, but you know what? We're out of time, and basketball's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Of course, this Stoner Doom will go on and on and on. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll be back again next week with a full hour. And on tomorrow night and Off the Hook. Again, please write to us, otw@2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for basketball. Good night.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to some Stony Brook Seawolves athletics action. We got some men's basketball, men's hoops coming at you from Albany, up in Albany. And so I'll be Rackham here in the studio, and we're going to send it to Jeff Bernstein for all the action live from Albany.
All right, thanks, Robbie. Back at the SEPCO Arena once again, the site of the 2013 America East Tournament, both for the men and women, and the Stony Brook men will be taking on the Albany Great Danes tonight. Seawolves come in with a great record. They're 15-5 and 6-1 in the America East. Albany coming into tonight's game with a 5-3 record, and they are 16-6 in the America East. So a big game on the road for the Stony Brook men. And Stony Brook currently in first place. Albany currently tied for third place in the America East. So a battle of two SUNY schools. It's always a battle when these two teams meet. Stony Brook begins a stretch of three consecutive road games when it faces Albany. This will be the 11th road game in the team's 15 games dating back to November. The Seawolves are also looking to remain in first place in the America East and finish the first half of the conference season at 7-1, the 59th all-time meeting between the two teams, marking Albany and Stony Brook the most frequent opponent of all time, obviously, when Stony Brook and Albany play. Although the Great Danes lead the series 34-24, the Seawolves have won four straight and lead the series during the Division I era 16-13. So a long-standing rivalry with Stony Brook and Albany. Both teams will be in CAA football next year, which making a lot of Stony Brook and Albany fans very, very happy about playing in the same conference in football as they did a while ago when they were in the Northeast Conference in football. Now the Seawolves move from the Big South to the CAA in football, and both teams are in that conference. So the Stony Brook-Albany game in football, very, very big. Stony Brook basketball game always comes down in the last possession. So it should be a very exciting game tonight between Stony Brook looking to go to 7-1 in the conference, Albany coming into this game who has lost two straight, two tough home games they have lost to BU 85-80, and that one was in overtime, and then they lost to Vermont 50-43, and this is the third of four for Albany at home. For Stony Brook, they're coming off of the big win against Maine on the 26th, 79-69. Before that, they went on the road and beat UMBC 67-60. Seawolves have two more road games, as we talked about, February 2nd at New Hampshire. That is a Saturday afternoon game at 3:45 WSB. And also February 9th at Hartford. That is also on WUSB, 6:45 on a Saturday night. So after New Hampshire, they get a week off, and then they take on Hartford at 6:45. Had the opportunity, the pleasure, to speak to the head coach of the Stony Brook Seawolves, Steve Peichel, about tonight's rivalry game between the Seawolves and the Great Danes. And here were his comments. Moments before tonight's America East contest between Stony Brook and Albany, we're talking to head men's basketball coach Steve Peichel. And coach, just briefly summarize the home victory against Maine.
Well, I tell you, exciting game, a good Maine team, very big physically. I really liked our energy. Obviously, Tommy Breton was special, first triple-double in Stony Brook Division I basketball history. Eric McAllister had a career high and was terrific and has been in practice, so really coming along. And, you know, I thought we had good guard play at times. I didn't love our defense in the second half. We held them to 22 points in the first half, gave up 47 in the second half. Tonight we won't be so fortunate if we give up those kind of numbers. So we have to be focused today. A real dangerous Albany team at home that really needs this game badly. And we got to come out here and do a great job and play a great game.
Coach, you've had the support of the community and the students all throughout the season, and you've done well. And I would think that this is your best road team you've ever had. So some thoughts coming into this game.
Yeah, I mean, just dangerous game whenever you're on the road in league play. And Albany has the most wins in the conference. They already have 16. So they're having a great year. They got a great backcourt. And well coached, too. So always a dangerous game. We have to play good basketball on the road. And we have to get back to Stony Brook defense. You know, we really have to get back to doing a great job on that end of the floor. Hopefully today we take a turn here. We have a three-game road stretch here. We've been on the road all season, it seems like. Now we have our toughest three-game road stretch, so we have to, you know, really get off to a good start tonight by playing great defense and being real tough.
No surprises with Stony Brook Albany. You can basically write a book with all the games that you've played against them. Always comes down to the wire. There's always some strange story that happens. It's one of those rivalries that's you know, good for basketball.
Yeah, I tell you what, every time we play them, it doesn't matter where, doesn't matter what time of the year. Always comes down to a couple plays and, you know, again, a good program and, you know, good players. So we're going to have to make some plays tonight, and hopefully we play our kind of defense that we've kind of gotten away from the last couple games. And, you know, I expect it to go down to the wire again today, too. So always a dogfight when you play Albany, and, again, doesn't matter where, but especially when you come here to their home court. It's a blackout tonight. We're part of more of those kind of things, whiteouts and purple growls and blackouts, and than any program in our league. And I think it's a credit to our players too that everyone gets up for our game, and certainly Albany will be very up for this game, and the fans will be here packing the place. So difficult place, and hopefully we can come in here and do a good job.
Coach, a lot of positive storylines for your team. One guy that really has been developing and adds some depth to your roster, Eric McAllister.
Yeah, I tell you, he's been great in practice, and I actually have been waiting for him to play well. He was real good at UMBC, and he was great, obviously, against Maine. You know, he's one of those kids. He can do a lot of things. He's very athletic. He can shoot the three. He can do a little bit of everything, and he showed that against Maine. And he's playing with a lot of confidence now, so hopefully that carries over into tonight's game.
Primary concern about Albany?
You know, their backcourt, they got a great backcourt. Mike Black and Ayadi can really shoot the ball. Black is a guy who can score and get to the rack, makes plays, gets fouled a lot. Always real concerned with their backcourt. Whenever teams have good guards, especially at home, you got to do a great job. And, you know, they have some big guys up front, and they're very, very physical. So we have to match their physicality, and we have to stop their backcourt.
Coach, best of luck tonight.
Thank you.
That was the head coach of the Stony Brook Seawolves, Steve Heichel. We're going to take a quick one-minute break and send it to the studios of WSB, and Rackham will give you an update about everything going on in the world of sports and also in the world of WUSB. We'll be back in a minute here at SEPCO Arena. You're listening to the longtime home of Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
All righty. Thank you very much, Jeff. To give you a quick rundown of what we got going on, WUSB throwing a little reggae marathon coming at you this weekend, so be sure to keep your ears glued to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook. As well as that, in the America East, the only game you have tonight is Albany and Stony Brook, but tomorrow you got a lot more action. Vermont taking on Hartford, New Hampshire taking on Maine, UMBC taking on Binghamton. Some other big games that will be going on tonight: Wisconsin taking on Ohio State, Georgia Tech at Clemson, North Carolina State at Virginia, Vanderbilt at Tennessee, Campbell at Liberty, Indiana State at Wichita State, Illinois State at Bradley, and Northern Iowa at Evansville. As well as that, you have some NHL back in action. Both the Devils, Islanders, and actually make it all three, the Rangers, all playing tonight. So we'll be keeping you updated with those scores. But that'll about do it for me here at Stony Brook. Let's send it back to Jeff Bernstein up in Albany for some more Seawolves hoops.
All right, Rackham back here at SEPCO Arena. We're about 2.5 minutes to go. Some people consider this the biggest game of the season when Stony Brook and Albany match up. It's always a big game when the two teams hook up here at either SEPCO or at Pritchard. Stony Brook will take on Albany in the last game of the season, of the regular season, on Sunday, March 3rd. That is a 2 p.m. tip at Pritchard, 1:45 the pregame, and gets the conference
was pretty smart putting the Stony Brook Albany game, the last game of the first round of the America East, and then the last game of the regular season. As I mentioned before, SEPCO Arena here at the University at Albany is the host of the 2013 tournament, and they will be hosting both the men and the women here in Albany. Stony Brook has done pretty well against the Albany Great Danes. Seawolves beat the Great Danes on a Dallas Joyner buzzer shot in the playoffs, and Stony Brook beat them twice during the regular season. They've won four straight, and it's always a battle, always comes down to the end, and once again, expecting no less here tonight. Seawolves going to have to play tough defense against a good backcourt in Mike Black and Jacob Yachty. Tough backcourt for the Stony Brook Seawolves. Seawolves have to tighten up the defense. But so Albany playing with a sense of urgency. They have lost two home games here against two good teams in BU and Vermont. And Stony Brook has been playing well, one of the best teams on the road in the entire country. And so they have played well on the road against some quality teams, especially in the non-conference as well. Took that tough loss at Vermont, 81-73, almost came back at the end. But should be a great battle between the Albany Great Danes and the Stony Brook Seawolves. You can catch us on Twitter, once again, at WUSB Sports Radio. And there'll be updates during the game. So both teams heading to their respective benches as we get ready for the start of today's game. And let's look at the starting lineups for today's game. For the Albany Great Danes, the head coach of the Great Danes is Will Brown, a graduate of Dowling in his 12th season. The assistants are Jeremy Friel, Chad O'Donnell, and John Yachty, the brother of Jacob Yachty, who played at Albany for a number of years. He graduated in 2007. And Jared Knott is in his second year as the director of basketball operations. 6'10 junior from Waterloo, Ohio, out of Waterloo West, number 44, John Puck. 6'6 sophomore from Sydney, Australia, out of the Knox Grammar School, number 14, Sam Rowley. A 6'4 redshirt freshman from Hanford, South Australia, number 14, Peter Hooley. A 6-foot senior from Chicago, Illinois, number 10, Mike Black. And a 5'10 graduate student from York, Pennsylvania, York Catholic, number 0, Jacob Yachty. For the Stony Brook Seawolves, the head coach is Steve Peichel. He's in his 8th season, a UConn grad. The associate head coach is Jay Young, Lamar Chapman, Dan Ricard, and Ricky Lucas is the director of basketball operations for the Seawolves. A 6-foot junior from Columbus, Ohio, out of Diana Lincoln High School, number four, Anthony Jackson. 6'2 junior from Brooklyn, New York, out of Thomas Jefferson High School, number 5, Dave Coley. A 6'8 freshman from Plainfield, New Jersey, out of Roselle Catholic High School, number 20, Jameel Warney. 6'8 junior from Hightstown, New Jersey, out of Hightstown High School and Apex Academy, number 22, Eric McAllister. 6'5 senior from Columbia, Maryland, River Hill High School, out of Hargrave Military Academy, number 24, Tommy Brenton. Crowd still filling up here at the SEPCO Arena. It's a blackout for Albany. Everybody in the crowd wearing the black with gold lettering on the shirts. Student section filled up on both sides. So the Seawolves and the Albany Great Danes here at the SEPCO Arena. Seawolves are going to wear the road red, trimmed in white and gray. Stony Brook in front. America East logo on the back of the neck. Albany wearing the home whites, trimmed in purple and gold. UAlbany in the front with the letters UA on the left side of the shorts. So it's the Seawolves and the Albany Great Danes here at SEFCO Arena. Seawolves have been pretty successful with the starting lineup of Brenton, McAllister, Jackson, Coley, and the freshman Jameel Warney. Game is on ESPN3 as well, so there's a little bit of a delay. With TV, and you know the rule with TV, definitely can go to ESPN3. But the only rule is that you have to put the mute on and bring up another window, wusb.fm/sports, and the audio will automatically come up. Still a little bit of a delay with TV, as this game is on ESPN3. Our buddies Eric Freed and Frank Sullivan doing the game for ESPN. Stony Brook still waiting on the floor. The five starters still waiting on the floor. Albany just coming out of the huddle. So the Albany Great Danes coming out. Always a battle with Stony Brook and Albany. As John Puck and Eric McAllister wait for the jump. You can see that this is a strong battle. Puck and McAllister not even shaking hands coming out. It's just ready to play. Puck and McAllister, and Seawolves win the tap. They go from left to right on your radio dial as Anthony Jackson brings the ball to the front court over to Coley on the left wing. You're listening to live on WUSB Stony Brook Albany. The SUNY rivalry. Jackson drives the lane. 5-foot jump shot. Rolls around the rim and good. So Anthony Jackson gives the Seawolves the 2-0 lead with 19:38 remaining in the first half. For the Albany Great Danes on the left wing, it's Hooley. Back on the right wing to Jacob Yachty. Yachty with the bounce pass. Over to Black. Black on the left wing to Hooley. Hooley inside to Rowley. 5-foot jump shot is good by Sam Rowley. So that was Hooley with the basket, and the game tied at 2. 19:12 remaining in the first half. Jackson on the left wing. Brenton on the left side. Back up to Jameel Warney. Over to Dave Coley on the right wing. Coley with the crossover. Back up top to Jackson. Left wing is Brenton. Inside to Warney. Warney drives the lane. Kicks it over to McAllister. Loses the ball. And picked up by Yachty. Albany and Stony Brook tied at 2. 18:45 remaining in the first half. On the right wing is Hooley. Hooley back up top to Yachty. Yachty, the deadly three-point shooter. Back on the left wing to Black. Black, the crossover dribble, drives the lane. Skips it on the right wing, throws it out of bounds.
That way, come on. That way.
It was tipped out of bounds by the Seawolves. It was tipped out by Jackson. Albany retains possession with 11 on the shot clock. 18:29 remaining in the first half game clock here at SEFCO Arena on the campus of University of Albany. Coley almost steals the inbound pass from Black. 7 on the shot clock. Black has the ball up top on the right wing. It's Rowley. 5-foot jump shots. No good. Rebounded by Eric McAllister, who's played much better over the last couple games. Coley on the right wing. In the corner, it's Anthony Jackson back in the starting lineup. Over to Tommy Brenton. Brenton, who has his first career triple-double for Stony Brook. Jackson, 10-foot jump shot. High arcing shot is good by Anthony Jackson. And Stony Brook takes the lead 4-2 with 17:50 remaining in the first half. Black brings the ball across the midcourt line. Seawolves are in the tight man-to-man defense. Yachty on the right wing. Bounce pass up top is Rowley. Rowley on the left wing to Black. Black to Hooley. Hooley at the foul line. Hands off to Yachty. 13 on the clock. Over to Black. Black with the crossover. Puts up the long three. Top of the key. It's no good. Scramble for the rebound. and knocked out of bounds by the Great Danes, and Stony Brook gets the ball. 4-2 Seawolves, 17:25 remaining in the first half, live at the SEPCO Arena. Jackson brings the ball across the midcourt line for the Seawolves. On the right wing is Jameel Warney, his first shot at Albany. Warney in the low post. Skip pass over to Coley. Coley the crossover dribble. Puts up the 17-foot jump shot. Rolls around the rim. No good. Knocked out of bounds by the Great Danes. Hooley knocked it out of bounds. Good hustle there by Eric McAllister. And Stony will get the ball back with 17:03 remaining in the first half. A 4-2 lead by the Seawolves. Coley has the ball up top. Inside to Brenton. Seawolves almost lost the ball. McAllister has the ball in the corner. Back up to Brenton. On the right wing is Coley. Fakes the three, drives the lane, puts up the layup. And it's good. Nice move by Dave Coley. Solid move. And the Seawolves lead 6-2. 16:40 remaining in the first half. Hooley has the ball up top. Over to Black on the right wing. Black double-teamed. They hedge on Black. Puck up top to Yachty. Yachty double-teamed, loses the ball. Picked up by Jackson. Good defense by Jackson. He loses it, Jackson. A little bit too much of a rush for him. Black drives the lane, puts up the layup. It's no good. Scramble for the rebound and picked up by Warney. Over to Brenton. Hands off to McAllister. Some sloppy play with both teams. But Jackson resets for the Seawolves. Into Brenton. Brenton skips it over to Jackson. Launches the three. Side of the rim, no good. Scramble for the rebound. And picked up by Yachty. 16 minutes remaining in the first half. Stony Brook leads 6-2. Black has the ball into the front court. Up top is Rowley. Rowley on the left wing to Hooley. Hooley inside the puck. Puck drives the baseline against Warney. Loses the ball. Jackson flies to the ground and picked up by Coley. Here comes Stony Brook in transition. Elbow jump shot by Coley is good. Dave Coley with the jump shot. And Will Brown calls timeout. And the Seawolves take the 8-2 lead. Good start by Dave Coley. 15:36 remaining in the first half. It's a 30-second timeout called by Will Brown. So a good start by the Stony Brook Seawolves with the 8-2 lead. Just a reminder, the Stony Brook women will take on Albany tomorrow at Pritchard Gym. Game time at Pritchard is at 7 o'clock. 6:55 is the pregame show. Many Stony Brook fans in the crowd tonight, including Senator Ken LaValle, who has an office obviously right down the road in Albany. With Senator LaValle wearing the red and the red hat, as he normally does at Pritchard, here to support the Seawolves in Albany. Great Danes have the ball in the front court. On the right wing, it's Black. Black looks inside for Rowley. Back up top to Yachty. Top of the key three-point shot is good. So Yachty puts the Seawolves on the ball, and Stony Brook leads 8-5. Anthony Mayo now in for the Stony Brook Seawolves, the sophomore from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, out of Roman Catholic. Brenton over the left wing to Coley. In the corner, it's Jackson. Jackson up top to Tommy Brenton. Over on the left wing, it's Jackson. 15 on the shot clock on the 14:57 mark of the first half. Jackson has the ball up top. Dribble with the right hand, 9 on the shot clock. Jackson resets the offense, comes off the left high-end screen, drives the lane, puts up the layup, rolls around the rim, no good, and rebounded by Hooley. And Stony Brook called for the rebounding foul with 14:42 remaining in the first half. The foul is called against Jackson. That's his first and the team's first of the game. Media timeout. We'll take timeout as well. Stony Brook 8, Albany 5. You're listening to the longtime home of Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
All righty. Thank you very much, Jeff. Let's give you a rundown of what we have going on. Some games just getting underway. Some examples of that. Wisconsin going to Ohio State. North Carolina State taking on Virginia. Georgia Tech taking on Clemson. Campbell taking on Liberty, Vanderbilt taking on Tennessee. Tonight is the only game going on in the America East Conference, but tomorrow night you have some more action. Vermont taking on Hartford, UMBC going to Binghamton, New Hampshire taking on Maine. As well as that, you have the NHL now back. Devils and Bruins underway at no score. Maple Leafs and Sabres underway as well. And the Rangers and Flyers underway, just getting underway, tied at 0. We'll get you more score updates as they come to us. And so that'll do it for me here in the WUSB studios. Let's send it back to Jeff Bernstein up in Albany, giving you all the play-by-play action.
Thanks a lot, Rackham, back here at the SEPCO Arena. Stony Brook with the 8-5 lead, 14:42 left in the first half. Good start for the Stony Brook Seawolves. Seawolves looking to pick up the first win against the Seawolves this season. Jackson leads the Seawolves, and Coley both have 4 for Stony Brook. Yachty with 3, and Rowley with 2 so far. So Albany has the ball, looking to tie the game or cut it within 1. .1437 remaining in the first half. Seawolves up 8-5. Albany has the ball into the front court. Right in front of the Stony Brook bench, driving the lane is Hooley. And a foul called against Stony Brook. The foul is called against Tommy Breton, his first, and the team's second. So taking it out of bounds for the Great Danes is Hooley. Hooley on the baseline. The redshirt freshman sat out last year. Yachty in the paint. On the left wing is Hooley. Hooley, baseline jump shot. It's good. It's on the line. It's a 2. And Stony Brook up 8-7. 5-0 run by Albany. Inside to Mayo. Mayo's pass on the baseline is stolen by Yachty. And here come the Great Danes. Yachty on the right wing to Black. Carson Parafoy in for the Seawolves. They call him Trey. In the corner, it's Rowley. Rowley against Breton. Takes a 5-foot jump shot off the glass. No good. Tommy Breton with the rebound, and he brings it into the front court. Breton has the ball up top. 13:50 remaining in the first half. Left wing is Marcus Rouse, the senior in the game for the Seawolves. Rouse out of Upper Marlboro, Maryland, out of DeMatha. Mayo, foul line jump shot. Good. Nice shot by Anthony Mayo. Gotta like that high-arcing shot by the sophomore out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, out of Roman Catholic. And Stony Brook leads 10-7, 13:30 remaining in the first half. Blake Metcalf now in for the Great Danes. Metcalf, the senior from Canby, Maryland. In the low post, it's Rowley, reverse layup. It's good. And Rowley cuts the lead to 10-9. And fouled on the sideline is Breton. Rowley fouls Breton as Seawolves are in transition. So McAllister and Breton come out. Scott King comes in for the Seawolves, the redshirt freshman. And Ron Bracey, the senior. Driving the lane is Mayo for the layup. Nice pass from Rouse. And Stony Brook leads by 3, 12-9, 13 minutes remaining in the first half. Yachty on the right wing comes off the high screen. He's doubled. Back up top, it's Metcalf. Metcalf on the right wing to Yachty. Yachty lead pass inside to Devlin. Devlin's pass in the low post is skipped around to Hooley for 3. He hits the 3. And the game tied at 12. 12:40 remaining in the second half. Rouse over to King. King back up top to Parafoy. Parafoy drives the lane, puts up the shot off the glass, and good. Nice move by Trey Parafoy. And Stony Brook leads 14-12. Black has it left elbow, fadeaway jump shot, in and out, no good. Offensive rebound and put back by Luke Devlin, the junior from Australia. And the game tied at 14, so end-to-end action here at the SEPCO Arena. Parafoy, right wing to Bracey. Bracey, the senior, out of Cincinnati. Back up top is Mayo. On the left wing is Rouse. Rouse comes off the screen. 17 seconds left on the shot clock. 11:57 remaining in the first half. Bracey drives the lane, puts up the shot, and an offensive foul called against Ron Bracey. Head coach Steve Peichel
wants to know if the basket went. And that's going to prompt a media timeout. 11:54 remaining in the first half. Game tied at 14. You're listening to the longtime home of Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
Alrighty, and so with the media timeout, we're going to take it back here at the WUSB studios. I am Rackham. And to get you some scores, Wisconsin currently leading Ohio State 3-2. North Carolina State leading Virginia 10-7. Georgia Tech leading Clemson 9-3. Campbell down to Liberty 7-10. And Tennessee currently shutting out Vanderbilt 12-0. Going over to the NHL side of things, Rangers taking a 1-0 lead early in the first period, Bruins and Devils tied at 0, and Islanders and Penguins set to get going at 7:30. As well as that, quiet day in America East outside of the Stony Brook game, but tomorrow you have Vermont taking on Hartford at 7, UMBC at Binghamton at 7, and New Hampshire taking on Maine at 7:30. And so that'll about do it for me here in the WUSB studios. We're going to send it back to Jeff Bernstein up in Albany for some more Seawolves hoops.
All right, Rackham, back here at the Sepku Arena, the home of the Albany Great Danes and the home of the 2013 America East Tournament. Game tied at 14. And that's what you would really expect between both teams. For the Seawolves, coming out on defense is Rouse, King, Parafoy, Bracey, and Jameel Warney. As the Albany Great Danes, they come out. Mike Black brings the ball into the front court. Seawolves shooting 70%, 7 of 10 from the field. Albany at 54%, 6 of 11. On the left wing, it's Hooley. Hooley back up top to Devlin. Foul line jump shot is no good. Offensive rebound and put back by Gary Johnson. And two straight offensive rebounds and put backs by the Great Danes. And the Albany leads 16 of 14. Parafoy fouled by Metcalf in the front court. So Albany picking up that second offensive rebound and putback. Steve Peichel can't be happy with that. Two-point Albany lead. Stony Brook opened up an 8-2 lead here at Sepku. Coley back in the game. Elbow jump shot is left elbow is no good. Tip to Jackson. Right wing King puts up the long three and hits. Nice shot by Scott King in the right corner. King has improved as well as the season has progressed. And Stony Brook retakes the lead 17-16. 11:07 remaining in the first half. On the right wing, it's Johnson. Johnson in the corner to Black. Seawolves are in the tight man-to-man. Back up to Devlin. Devlin over to Black on the right wing. 10:50 remaining first half. Black spin move, drives the lane, kicks on the left wing to Hooley for three. In and out, no good. And Jameel Warney with a strong rebound for the Seawolves. Seawolves up 1-17-16. 10:40 remaining in the first half. Jackson has the ball up top. As Albany hedges that, looks inside for Warney for the layup. Nice pass from Jackson to the freshman, Jameel Warney. And Stony Brook up 3, 19-16. Good court awareness by Anthony Jackson. 10:20 remaining in the first half. Mike Black has the ball up top on the left wing, back up to Devlin. Devlin lobs it inside to Metcalf. Layup is no good. Knocked out of bounds by the Great Danes. And good defense by Stony Brook. They'll have the ball with 10:14 remaining in the first half. King, Jackson, Coley, Warney, and Tommy Brenton in for the Seawolves. Seawolves wearing the red, trimmed in white and gray. New uniforms this year. Seawolves on the shorts. Lobs it inside to Warney. Layup is no good. Good pass there by Tommy Brenton. Just missed the layup. And Albany has the ball on offense. Yachty on the left wing, inside to Rowley. Rowley low post, looks for the reverse layup, and a traveling violation called against Rowley. Good defense by Scott King. Scott King just keeps improving for the Seawolves. in all facets of the game. McAllister comes in for King, and the depth of the lineup getting better and better. 9:53 remaining in the first half. Stony Brook leads 19-16. Good crowd here at the Sefco Arena as Jackson brings it into the front court. Jackson comes off the high screen. On the left wing is Coley. Coley looks inside for Warney. Warney drives. Reverse layup is good. Nice move by Jameel Warney, the freshman. Then Stony Brook up 21-16. 9:30 remaining in the first half. Black on the left wing. Back up top, it's Rowley. Rowley looks inside, goes out of bounds, and it's Stony Brook ball. Fans not happy with that call. That might have went any either way. And the Seawolves get the ball back with a chance to extend the 21-16 lead. We are live in Albany, New York, on the campus of the University of Albany at SEPCO Arena. On the left wing is Coley. Coley backs over to Jackson. Long three left side. Back rim no good and rebounded by Mike Black. Black brings it into the front court for the Great Danes. 9:03 remaining in the first half. Rowley up top. Left wing is Yachty. Seawolves are in the tight man-to-man. Yachty on the right wing to Black. Black comes off the high screen at the foul line. Baseline jump shot is too strong by Puck and rebounded by Tommy Brenton. Brenton brings in the front court. Coast to coast. Layup is good. Coast to coast by Tommy Brenton. Great move to the glass. And Stony Brook up 23-16. 8:35 remaining in the first half. Black on the left wing to Johnson. Johnson up top to Rowley. Rowley over to Black. Black on the high side. Over to Yachty. 20 on the shot clock at the 8:20 mark. Yachty in the corner. And Yachty called for the traveling violation. Good defense by Stony Brook. Seawolves get the ball back with 8:18 remaining in the second half. First half. Don't want to get ahead of myself. Stony Brook up 23-16. So Seawolves bring in McAllister back in with Jackson, Tommy Brenton, Warney, and Coley. On the right wing, it's Coley. Coley comes off the high screen up to Brenton. Puts up the runner off the glass. Goes off the side of the rim. Tommy tried to throw it off the glass and catch it. He does that sometimes when he's in a crowd. Tries to play volleyball, but the ball went off the left side of the rim, left side of the backboard. And the Great Danes will get the ball back. 23-16 Stony Brook. 8 minutes remaining in the first half. Yachty up top to Puck. Puck hands off to Jason Guerrier, now in the game for the Great Danes. Guerrier, the senior, hasn't got much time as he has done in the past. On the left wing inside to Rowley. Rowley backs in against McAllister, puts up the five-foot jump shot. No good, and Jameel Warney comes down with the rebound. Warney over to Jackson. Jackson brings into the front court for Stony Brook. Good transition by the Seawolves. Jackson crosses over. Looks inside for McAllister, and Jackson just rushing a bit for Stony Brook. And that's going to prompt the media timeout. 7:33 remaining in the first half. It's the Seawolves 23, Albany 16. You're listening to the longtime home of Seawolves Athletics, WUSB.
Alrighty, thank you very much, Jeff. Back in the WUSB studios, let's take a look at what we got going on around college basketball. Hoops, Wisconsin leading Ohio State 9-8. North Carolina State over Virginia 17-7. Georgia Tech leading Clemson 22-14. Liberty leading Campbell 12-7. And Tennessee leading Vanderbilt 19-7. Quiet day in the American East Conference outside of the Stony Brook game, however. Three games set to go on tomorrow. Vermont going to Hartford, 7 p.m. tip-off. UMBC at Binghamton, 7 p.m. tip-off. And New Hampshire taking on Maine at 7:30. Taking a quick look at the NHL. Devils Bruins currently tied at 0. Maple Leafs leading the Sabres 1-0. Rangers leading the Flyers 1-0 as well. And Islanders getting underway in 5 minutes for a 7:30 puck drop. And so that'll about do it for me here in the WUSB studios. We got Jeff Bernstein up in Albany, and he'll be taking care of the play-by-play and letting you know what's going on with all the American East hoops from Albany. Jeff, take it away.
Thanks a lot, Rackham. Doing a great job back at WUSB Studios, and we appreciate all of his efforts. We welcome everybody back, the students back to the Stony Brook University campus. I'm sure a lot of people are listening to tonight's game. It's always a battle with Stony Brook and Albany, and especially now the Seawolves are on the road for three games. You can hear all the games on WUSB.FM/sports, on Twitter at WUSB Sports Radio. Seawolves, with a 9-0 run, have a 23-16 lead, 7:23 remaining in the first half. Black has the ball and hands off to Hooley. Seawolves shooting currently 61%, Albany at 41%. Leading the way for Stony Brook, four players with 4 points. They lob it inside to Rowley. Rowley is fouled in the low post. With 7:14 remaining in the first half, the foul is called against Dave Coley. First personal on foul, team's fourth. Albany with only 2 fouls. Hooley leads Albany with 5 points, and they're shooting 41%. Up top is Rowley. Rowley on the right wing to Guerrier. Puts up the three. Front rim, no good, and rebounded by Jackson. Here comes Stony Brook in transition. Jackson has the ball up top with 7 minutes remaining in the first half. Up to McAllister. McAllister, one dribble. On the left wing is Lenny Hayes in the game for the Seawolves, the senior out of Voorhees, New Jersey, Lawrenceville Prep. Hayes, the veteran leader, on the right wing. Hayes on the right wing. Where's number 15? Back up to Mayo. Mayo, the 16-foot jump shot. High arc and shot is good by Anthony Mayo out of Philly. Great shot by Mayo. And Stony Brook takes the takes the lead in 25-16 with 6:30 remaining. 11-0 run by the Seawolves. Up top is Rowley. Rowley in the corner to Black. Black on the left wing to Guerrier. Up top is Rowley. 6:17 remaining in the first half. Black has the ball up top, 13 on the shot clock. Black drives the lane, puts up the shot. Off the glass, no good. And McAllister comes down with the rebound. 6:06 remaining in the first half, and a 9-point lead for the Seawolves, 25-16. Hayes inside to Mayo. Step back baseline jump shot is short off the rim. And rebounded by the Great Dane. Black brings it into the front court. Up top is Rowley. Seawolves have some substitutions coming in. In the corner, it's Rowley. Rowley drives in. 5-foot jump shot is no good, and a goaltending call against McAllister as he blocked the shot coming in from the weak side. And that puts 2 points on the board for the Great Danes. I'm not sure if the shot may have went in. Associate Head Coach Jay Young not happy with that. Just gave them 2 points without seeing if the shot went in or not. Perifoy, Brenton, and Warney now in for Stony Brook. Rouse on the left wing, up top to Perifoy. Over to Hayes, right wing is Brenton. Brenton up to Perifoy, left wing is Rouse. 5:29 remaining first half. 25-18 Stony Brook. Brenton dribbles on the left side, drives the lane, puts up the shot. Brenton off the glass, no good. Warney offensive rebound. And Warney is fouled in the low post. See, Warney looks a lot more limber than he did in the game against Maine. Has a brace on his left knee, but looks a lot looser tonight. Brenton up top to Lenny Hayes. On the left wing is Trey. Trey lobs it inside to Warney, freshman to freshman. Warney drives the baseline, kicks it up top to Perifoy. On the left wing is Brenton. Brenton looks up at the shot clock. Back up top to Perifoy, who resets the offense under the five-minute mark here at SEPCO Arena. On the right wing is Brenton. Brenton drives the lane. Spin move and layup. Nice move by Tommy Brenton. Made it look easy there. And Stony Brook up 27-18. 4:45 remaining in the first half. Black has the ball into the front court. Loses the ball. Black is double-teamed. And it gets knocked out of bounds. They don't call a foul on the Seawolves. So Albany will get the ball back with 26 on the shot clock. Yachty comes back in for the Great Danes, as well as Blake Metcalf, the senior. 27-18, 4:39 remaining first half. Siebel's in that man-to-man. Yachty on the right wing. On the left wing is Black. Black is double-teamed. Crossover dribble. Back on the left wing is Hooley. Hooley drives the lane, puts up the layup. Rolls around the rim, no good, and Jameel Warney comes down with the rebound. Siebel's in transition. Parafoy. Over the right wing is Rouse. Up to Brenton. Left wing is Hayes. Hayes back up to Rouse. 4:09 remaining first half, 27-18. Brenton on the right wing. Backs in, spin move, puts up the shot off the glass, and good! Nice shot by Tommy Brenton. He had to fade back a little and then put it in. He knows how to use the glass. And Stony Brook up 11, 29-18. A 13-2 run by the Seawolves with 3:58 remaining in the first half. The 30-second timeout called by Will Brown, the Miller Place Long Island native, played at Dowling. And Will already is the longest tenured coach in the American East in his 12th season. Steve Peichel in his 8th season. Albany has the ball. 3:58 remaining. Seawolves lead 29-18. Up top for the Great Danes, it's Metcalf. Back to Yachty on the right wing. Seawolves are in the man-to-man. Black up top. 3:40 remaining in the first half. Black still has the ball up top. He's being double-teamed on the right.